Greet you all saints in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see Sister Gitana. Let's sing We Chorus 97, This World Can't Hold Me. 97, it's A flat. This old world can never hold me any moment. I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration, and I have this old world can never hold me anymore. Let's bring it down a little bit. It's maybe let's try a G. Is that a G? Let's try it in D, sister. This old world can never hold me any moment. I'll be gone, for I have made my consent. And I have the wedding garment. Oh yes, this old way can never hold me any moment. I'll be good. I have made my consecration, hallelujah, and I hid my wedding garment too. Amen. Can we try the weak chorus? I'm on my way. Can we have A flat maybe? I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Let's go a little bit faster. I'm on my way to glory land. I'm on my way to glory land. Oh, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Oh, salvation is free. Oh, why don't you come? Oh, salvation is free. Oh, why don't you come? Oh, salvation is free. Why don't you come? Oh, I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. I say salvation is free. Oh, why don't you come? Oh, salvation is free. Oh, salvation is free. Why don't you come. Oh, I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Oh, yes, if you don't go, oh, don't hinder me. Oh, if you don't go, oh, don't hinder me. Oh, if you don't go, don't hinder me. Oh, I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Oh, yes, I'm on my way. Oh, to glory, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on my way. Oh, to glory, Lord. Oh, I'm on my way. To glory, Lord. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way.
Let's try hymn number 7. When the redeemed, G.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed a gathering here, oh, when the redeemed a gathering here, washed like snow and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed a gathering here. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed, oh, a gathering here. When that oh, when the redeemed are gathering here, oh, when the redeemed are gathering here, oh, washed like snow and free from sin, oh, sin, how will shout, oh, and how will sing, oh, redeemed a gathering here. Oh yes, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed a gathering here, oh, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join them. When the redeemed are gathering here, oh, when the redeemed are gathering here, white like snow and free from sin, oh, sing how we'll shout and how we'll sing.
When the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. What a day. When the redeemed are gathering in. I think sometimes when you just get to thinking about what that day will be like, it sometimes seems too good to be true. But if the Lord has gathered us here, this is just a foretaste of Him gathering us there. And that's the wonderful thing, when the redeemed are gathering in. God bless, saints. Welcome to the Bible study this evening. Just want to quickly share my screen here. And we'll get ourselves started straight away. We want to get into the Word this evening. Continue on. If we go to Revelations chapter 10, let's get our scripture reading from there. We continue on from last week. Last week we're looking at how to effectively study the message. Revelation chapter 10. Okay, I've got myself there. And then. Share that. And then that. There you go. So today we wanted to have a look at, continue that thought, but looking at eat the book. How do we eat the book? Revelation 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. So here was the angel with the open book. Covenanted one, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow. So that's Christ. That's he himself. He's coming down with an open book. And John is commissioned to go and take the book out of the hand of the angel. And I went unto the angel. He's called an angel because he's the great messenger. That's what an angel is. And said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And God hiding in simplicity, we can say concerning that last verse, this day that's the scriptures fulfilled. You must prophesy. That's exactly what you're doing. Let's just pray for the word, Lord. As we thank you for your word, how we long to settle ourselves down now, Lord, and just wait upon you that you'd lead us to do your will this night, Lord, both the speaker and the hearers. Father, whether people that are present or your children that are out there, Father, on Zoom, on YouTube, we pray your blessing upon them. Won't you help us, guide us now, Lord? Pray for Brother Stevie, you'll be with him today. Father, for all that couldn't make it, you be with them as well, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless saints. You may be seated this evening. So we wanted to have a look at this thought here of eat the book. We used the scripture last week about rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what you want to do. But at the end of the Bible study last week, when we were fellowshipping, we'd been speaking last week about how to study the message. And you know, what is the how does the message structure? And then Sister Aggie came and she said something that really struck me because it's the most important point. She said, it's good to know how to, but what to study. You know, that's more what, because we all get to that stage where we're feeling, I need to get back in the Word. I haven't been in the Word. The busyness of life has taken me away from the Word. And then you're wondering, what should I read? What should I get into? So it's fine for us to speak about how the message all fits together. How to benefit from the Bible, how to benefit from the message. But the key to it all, the most important point, to a victorious Christian life, there's nothing more important than this particular thought, is feeding on the right thing. Now, it's finding that word that feeds your soul. That's something that does something to you. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He called himself the bread of heaven. So, the bread, the word became bread. That's what Brother Ram says. Jesus came down. The song says, manna became a man. And it's true. Then his body was broken. The bread was broken for us. And now when we approach him and we commune with the Lord and he feeds our souls, we now start feasting upon the true bread that comes down from heaven. But it's not every time you read the Bible. It's not every time you listen to the message that you can feel inside of your soul that you're really feeding on bread that comes down from heaven. Now, you're so many times we read something and you can just feel, but this is not really what my soul is looking for. So how do we find that something? How do we find that secret place of the Most High? Because that is what it is. When you get shut in with the Lord in simplicity and his presence comes. We read it at the prayer meeting last week, that quote from Brother Ram says about how the word became spirit. Yeah. The spirit became the word. So when you look inside of your Bible, the spirit, the Holy Ghost became word because God and the word are one. So the Holy Ghost became word. But what we want is we want the word to become spirit again. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But many times we're fellowshipping with the word, but we don't feel the spirit in it. It's not doing something to our souls. It's not becoming daily bread to us. And that is what we need. We need our daily bread. We really, really do. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness in a type, they had to get their manna on a daily basis. And that manna was a powerful thing because whatever the Lord put in that manna, that angel's food, it met the need of every individual in their own particular way. So whatever challenges you had to meet up with that day, whatever labors you had to do, whatever was your lot, your portion, your post of duty, the manna, though it all came from the same place, but it ministered individually to the people exactly what they needed to give them strength to do whatever their task was that they needed to be done. And surely that is what we need on a daily basis. We need daily bread. Now that is the only way we can overcome on a daily basis is we're getting our daily bread. And that daily bread is not just the letter of the word, because the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that gives life. So when the word, the prophet says, the word became blood, flesh and blood, and then he bled for us. You know, then he speaks about the bleeding word, the life that's inside of the word. When the word is fresh and it's real, that is where the overcoming power is. And surely that is what we're looking for. That is the key to a victorious Christian life, is partaking of him, the bread from heaven. You know, when you're really fellowshipping with him and he comes and overshadows a portion of his word, and that word becomes life, it becomes bread to you. And you can feel it inside of your soul. There's a difference. There's a strange something that takes place that you can't explain to anybody, but anybody's experiences knows what you're speaking about, is when the word starts becoming bread. The word starts becoming life. The word starts becoming spirit once again. And you're fellowshipping with something very real, and it's doing something inside of your soul. It's feeding your soul. It's satisfying your soul. And the revelation of the word, it brings stimulation. You know, it quickens you. The revelation of the word, it brings satisfaction inside of your soul, like eating that something that is really, really satisfying. So how do we go from how to read the Bible or how to listen to the message to what should I be listening to? That's obviously a big question, because you want to make sure, because it's essential. It's an essential to a believer that we feed on the correct daily bread. Now we'll see there's two levels of that. That's the personal level, like we spoke about the devotional level, where it's your personal walk. You want to spend time with the Lord. So you need daily bread just for your personal walk. And then we need daily bread for our day, for our age, the daily bread, for the prophetic word for our age. So both of those levels, we need to be eating the right thing. You don't want to be in the wrong word for your age. You're not getting daily bread then. You try to eat yesterday's manna. You don't want to eat yesterday's manna. It's not good for you, really. You want to have the daily bread, fresh, heaven-sent manna. That's what you need. On an individual basis, on a prophetic basis, that is going to be the difference between, you know, a person that struggles along, that quickly loses the vision. They're struggling all the time with their old temperament. They're struggling with the conditions of the day, with temptation, whatever. And another person, though they're going through the same trials, but there's a satisfaction inside of their souls because they found that hidden manna. And as they're partaking of that, it's giving them the strength that they need. It's like the baby nursing from the mother. It's like getting strength, nursing strength from El Shaddai. The song says, strength for the day is mine all the way. And that's what we want. We want daily bread. So how are we going to find this daily bread? Well, obviously, there's no, concerning your personal walk with the Lord, there's no ABC guide to that, because it's such an individual thing. Your circumstances are so very, very individual. That's why John said in the epistle of John, 1 John, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. So you know, the Holy Ghost inside of you, the Holy Ghost inside of me knows exactly what you and I need. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the vitamins that we need on a daily basis to give us the strength that we need. He knows what we need. And that is what John is saying. He's the only one who can really lead us correctly to the right place. Dolish reminds you of Brother Perry Green when he found the picture of the cloud in the Life magazine, and he found all those different things. I mean, I downloaded them all from their website because they've changed their website now. So I don't know if you noticed that the Tucson Tabernacle, you can still get the old website. Yeah, but they have all the things that used to be on the bulletin board. And there were some fascinating things. And Brother Perry Green said to Brother Bram, said, Brother Bram, I don't know how I find these things. And he says, the Holy Ghost wants you to find those things. You know, so just in your daily walk and opening this and reading that, and you just come across things. It's so powerful the way that it works. Now, how the Lord can be so much in control of the simplicity of life that you'll just open a magazine in a dentist surgery and it'll be exactly what you needed to read at that time. And that'll open up something. Or, you know, just before we were coming, I was thinking of something, a real challenge came. And Brother Gerd Rudevold, when we were across in Hungary, fellowshipping with him, he had been speaking about his building stones. You know, I know for the years, Brother Gerd always printed out these little pamphlets of quotes called building stones. They're very nice. So I said it to him, I said, Brother Gerd, please, if you got some of those, send them across to me. So last week he sent me all of them, nicely bound, spiral bound, everyone is ever done. So just today, I just opened one up just before coming for service, and it was, God is behind every move. And it was exactly what I needed to see. And I said, how does that happen? How, it's like opening up. How do you find the right scripture to read? How do you find, you know, it's like there's something there. The Holy Ghost can lead you. You don't have to crack your head. You don't have to use an algebraic formula, spiritually speaking, to work out how am I going to find. You just have a hungry heart and you find the anointing that you've received abides with you. He knows what you need. The Lord knows exactly what He wants to feed you. He knows exactly what He wants to speak to you. He says, and you need not that any man teach you. So on the individual level, in simplicity, we can teach principles. But to apply those principles, to learn the real lessons of life, it's only the Holy Ghost that can lead and guide us in those things. He says, and that the Holy Ghost will lead us. So that's why it's the deep calling to the deep. That is the key here. The Holy Ghost inside of you knows what you need, knows the spiritual minerals and vitamins that you need. Brabham speaks about that boy who had the craving for sulfur. And he was eating the pedal off the bicycle, chewing it, and eating the rubbers off the end of his pencil because sulfur is in rubber. So there was a deep inside of him craving for something. And when he found something that contained that, there was a response that he knew, this is what I'm looking for. And that's exactly the way that it is with us spiritually. Yeah, the Lord knows what you need. And what you need, when you come across it, it gets quickened to you. You find, wow, something in the deep inside of you says, that's the deep that I was looking for. And when the deep starts ministering to the deep, because there's a deep in us. Maybe you're seeking for leadership. Maybe you're seeking for peace. Maybe you're seeking to hear the personal voice of Christ giving rest to your soul once again. Whatever that it is that you're going through, the Holy Ghost inside of you creates the deep. He knows the deep inside of you. And then when you start getting to the place that's going to meet your need, you start to feel it. When somebody starts preaching and they get down, not everything in the sermon is for you or for me. Like when Brother Oliver was preaching the other day, or Brother Alex. But there's certain parts when somebody gets onto a certain something, something moves inside of you. Because the deep is responding to the deep. Yeah, and that something inside of you, you start realizing, this is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. And now the key to it is discerning that. What is he overshadowing? Now, what part of the word is he overshadowing? You can sense it in your soul. The anointing you've received is going to respond to that. Because the Holy Ghost is saying to you, hey, this is what you need. Don't move on from here. That is why maybe next Wednesday we'll look at it before we go to the youth camp. The absolute importance of taking notes, honestly. You know, somebody said it to me the other day. They said, so many people don't take notes. And I've never really understood that because you lose so much. Like when the Holy Ghost comes and quickens something to you during the service, it's very easy for the birds of the air to come and pluck it away as soon as you go outside and you forget. Whereas if you have a pen, even just a piece of paper, and something's quickened to you, something you just a deep call, and you jot it down, that scripture or that thought, get up tomorrow in the morning and you start from there. You know, you can now build, and that can open up, and the rest of your week can become a week of revival because of the simplicity of that seed that was sown, and you discerned at that time. That's what it is. Something just moves, and you follow that, and it opens up, and one thing leads to another, and another thing leads to another, and now the word becomes bread. Now the word becomes spirit and life to you. Now it starts giving you prevailing power, starts you, because revelation does start stimulating the stimulation of revelation. It starts to quicken you. So he overshadows something. He really, really does. That deep in you is calling out. Yeah. And that's what you're seeking for. Like Sister Aggie asking question, what am I supposed to read? That's the deep calling out. I want to find something in the word that really ministers to me. And whether you're taking it to the Bible or to you're taking it to the message, you're taking it to anything that's got inspiration inside of it. The Holy Ghost is going to resonate inside of you whenever you start getting in the right direction and you feel it. And don't move quickly from that particular thought or that subject or that scripture or that message or whatever. If it's ministering to you, keep on gleaning in that field of Boaz until you've gleaned everything that you can from the field. Yeah, I'm sure you're like me. There's times you hit a certain something. I'll hit a certain message and I'll just listen to it maybe the whole week. You do other things, you just keep going back to that because it's so sweet to your soul. Yeah, and you don't want to go and you go and listen to something else and it's not the same and you keep coming back to that something or even just a part or a certain book, a verse, chapter in the Bible, a certain story or something. It's got life. And the moment you get into that, something starts to move inside of your soul. You start to feel it for yourself that yes, the Holy Ghost is bearing witness. The anointing that you've received is bearing witness that this is his provided place of worship for you now. This is where he has chosen to place his name now. This is where you can fellowship with him now. This is daily bread now. Might be different next week because the daily bread is going to change according to your needs, according to where you are spiritually and all that kind of stuff. That's why the sinner, the deep inside of them is crying out for salvation. Yeah, and they'll come and sit in church and you're speaking a lot of other things, it doesn't help. The moment you start speaking about Christ died for you. I remember the first time I went to the cathedral hall in our town, the hall, and the evangelist was preaching the first time I ever heard the gospel when I was 18. Something moved deep inside of me when he said there was a man who died on the cross for you so you can be freely forgiven for your sin. There was such a yearning inside of me for that. Now, he could have spoken 10,000 other things would have gone over my head. But now the deep started to call to the deep. That was what I needed. And you feel it in your soul. That's what I need. And if he moves on to something else, no, please don't move on. Stay there. I need more of that. And surely that is the way that in simplicity, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. In your own personal walk, that you find what it is the Lord wants you to be in at any certain time. Now, sometimes you need help in that. Now, sometimes people can give us good advice or good guidelines because what you're going through, you can say it to somebody. You know, so look, I'm really, really thirsty for inside of my soul. I'm struggling with this. So I'm lost my rest. I've lost my peace. And somebody can say, go and read this in the Bible or go and listen to this message. Now, God has many ways of directing us. The Holy Ghost leading us now to that place that he wants to overshadow, to lead us to that daily bread that we need. He has many ways. Ministry does the same thing, you know, whatever. But it's amazing how the Lord leads. Just in simplicity, you won't even know it's the Lord leading you, but you just come across the right thing at the right time. And I love it when it comes like that. Amen. I'm sure you do too. And that's why the key to a healthy soul, the healthy spiritual life is to find the Craig deep, to minister to the deep that's inside of you. Now, what's good when you're struggling with temptation and then you go and listen to Marriage and Divorce, like I want to say. I mean, hey, please. No, you want to go and listen to Why Am I Against Denominations? You know, those are good messages, but it's not ministering to the deep at that time. That's why we'll see. I'm trying to just give a little bit of help as to where we can find certain things in the message. So deep calls to deep. There was the men last week we saw on the way to Emmaus. What brought about the change in their circumstances? When they were losing the vision, they were discouraged. They didn't understand. There was a deep calling inside of them for a revelation and understanding. And what made the difference was when the word came and ministered exactly to their situation, came with exactly what they needed, because they had these questions and the word came and answered their questions. Exactly what, and that became bread, because he was known unto them by the breaking of bread. And that changed them and quickened them, and back to Jerusalem they went. But Jesus came and opened up their eyes, opened their understanding, and he didn't preach Mount Sinai to them. He didn't preach about Elijah. He didn't preach about anything else. He came and took all the scriptures concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered all of these things? Yeah. And then they said, oh, that's exactly what's happening. And they placed themselves in the word. They placed their situation was quickened to them in the word. And obviously that is always what's going to make a difference, is when you find yourself in the word. The prophet speaks in the message identification. But the little boy who's never been, he's come to the countryside, poor, comes into the town, walks up the stairs, and there's the full-length mirror as he gets to the top of the stairs. And he sees the other little boy in the mirror, and he looks at him, and he thinks it's another little boy, and then he moves, and that boy moves his hand, and that boy, then he realizes, ah, he says, Mommy, that's me. He recognized himself. And that is what it is. When you recognize yourself in the word, when you find yourself in the word, and it could be any situation in the Bible. You could find yourself in the Exodus. You could find yourself in what one of the disciples was going through. You could find yourself in Esther. You could find yourself in Ruth. Wherever the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow, to really shine light into your situation, to minister personally to what you and I are going through, that becomes daily bread. And it's powerful when you can say, that's me. Or when you get in the message and the prophet is speaking of a certain, say, that's me. That's exactly what I'm going through. That's what makes all the difference, is it not? Because that's the deep calling to the deep. He's going to minister. He's trying to minister what it is that you need. So there's two different levels, like I said. There's devotional and prophetic revelation. We need both. We need the simple something to feed your soul, your walk with Christ. Just sit at his feet and he speaks personally to you. You can find that in the Psalms. You could find it in wherever. You know, there's so many different places in the Bible. Or the Gospels, you know, I don't know. You could find it in Philippians when it speaks about him coming down from his glory. But it's a wonderful thing where your soul starts to fellowship with him and he starts to fellowship with your soul on an individual level. You're not seeking for some big something to understand some deep revelation from the book of Revelation. Now, at that stage, now you're needing a personal daily bread. You need something which is, I need him to speak personally to me. He might speak to you from the Song of Solomon, and he might, you know, whatever he wants to choose, whichever simplicity he wants to hide himself in. But that is your devotional walk, you know, your daily spiritual walk, eating the daily bread on a personal level. Every believer needs that. But then we also have, so devotional revelation is, it's essential to receive this for your personal spiritual life. Now, this is you and the Lord. This is you walking personally in the light with him. And him speaking to you about what you're going through, and him speaking to you about your circumstances, and him encouraging you, pouring in the oil and the wine, whatever that you're going through. We need that. We absolutely need that, because we need a daily walk. We need to walk in the light. So we need that personal light for him to, you know, so we know that he understands. He knows what I'm going through. So that could be about your walk. It could be about your call. It could be about your commission, your position in Christ, whatever he's revealing to you and leading and guiding you in. And you're coming and saying, Lord, what is it you'd have me to do? And he's speaking personally to you. That's one level of revelation. And we need that. That's daily bread. And there's certain times you don't need the theology. We need just that simplicity of the daily bread. And someone's trying to break theology just and say, no, look, that's wonderful. I know it's true, but hey, the deep inside of me, I just need to hear about Jesus again. I just need to hear that he loves me. I just need to hear his voice personally to my soul. And we need that on a regular basis. Then there's prophetic revelation. It's also essential because you need to walk in the light of your age. You need to recognize your day and its message. You need to know who you are. What good is it for you as an individual to know who you are? You might say, I know, Lord, you called me to be an evangelist. Okay, and then you're going to become an evangelist in the Catholic Church. I mean, you see, private walk where the Lord's revealed to you an evangelist, that's good. But that's got to fit into the big picture now. It's got to fit into the prophetic revelation of your age. So you know, what is on the mind of God for this age? What is His thoughts? What is His purpose? What is His desire? What is He overshadowing for the age? And then what is overshadowing in your life must match what is over. Then you find your position in your message in your day. Yeah, there's got to be both levels of revelation. You've got to have prophetic revelation where you find for your age God's provided place of worship. What are the scriptures He's overshadowing for this age? What is His message to this age? Otherwise, you live in a previous age, and we're going to come here today and we're going to tell people the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, which is what we were told when we were young, when we were in Pentecost. You see, and that's not the message of this age. That's not what we need now. We're not looking that everyone must speak in tongues. No, it's back to the original faith. Paul, he says, some prophesy, some, yeah. There's diversities of gifts and diversities of manifestations of the gifts. You know, so we can easily find ourselves trying to do God a service without it being His will. If we don't understand the age, the day, where is Christ? What is He saying? If we're in Laodicea, what is He saying in Revelations 3 to Laodicea? What is He warning us about? About the riches, about trusting in the riches of this age, being lukewarm, all those kind of things. We've got to be hearing the voice to the age now. And then that perfectly ties in. They're like dovetails with His personal daily bread. He's feeding your soul, gives you the strength, gives you the vision, and then you're fitting into the purpose of God for the age. We need both of those things. Now, I just wanted to give this out. I didn't have one for everybody because my printer went and let me down. So if we could just share a little bit, if that's okay. And it's on your phone as well. I put it on all of the different forums. Would you mind sharing with Benjamin?
No.
Okay. It's on, sister, for you. Is it okay? Sorry, sister. And you guys can share the last one there. Okay, I did put this on each of our forums for church. But I thought, okay, so the best way maybe to help on this is to go back to our Getting Started guide and maybe we just do a version 2 of that. So I thought maybe we could just have a quick look at this. Maybe I can put it on screen as well if I can. Okay, I think I have it here. If somebody can just tell me if this is going to come on, is this on the, no, it's not. Okay, how do I get that on there? Okay, I can bring it up. Okay, what have we got online there? Okay, it's just that, oh yeah, that's what we need to do. Thank you, bro. What would you do without you, bro? So if I just drag that across to here. Okay. So that'll be good. So if we go and view full screen here, or read mode might be better for us to see. Is that okay online? Can people see that online, I wonder? Are they seeing that here? Good. Okay, so we're looking at this. So Believers Getting Started Guide, I did a version 2. So this is the same. I just changed some of the things. But just speaking about, especially for new believers, about get your Bible app, you've got your Bible. We've done these things before, how to read the Bible, read and pray, read and meditate and so forth, and how the things the prophet said about that. But if you go down, I kept the same Bible verses for salvation, for water baptism, baptism of the Holy Ghost, same scriptures. And then I just added a little bit on getting involved. Okay, so Bram says, now find you a good church home quickly. Be baptized, move into that church, you and your family, and live peacefully with God. Then he says, and stay with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd and you give him respect. He'll lead you through because it's ordained of God to do so. So you need to find a church, you know, wherever you are, find a pastor. And then he prays, may they find a good home, a good church home. And they remain faithful at the post of duty. So you've got to have a post of duty. You've got to find the place where you believe that God feeds your soul, where you believe God has called you to be faithful at your post of duty. Find your position in Christ. It's a very important part of a Christian life. But then I changed this now. I got it to you and the message. So we're speaking about, where do I find things that minister to particular needs? Where do I find certain vitamins? Where do I find potassium in the message? Where do I find vitamin D in the message when I need? Where do I find vitamin C? So I thought, okay, let's expand this now to help out with some messages that deal with different kinds of things. So if you're going through something, you say, I don't really know what to listen to. I don't know what to, Sister Aggie asked last week and said, what about reading the scripture? I find if you've lost the vision, if you're low in spirit, it's better to listen to something. Because sometimes when you're really low in spirit and you start reading your Bible, it goes in one ear and out the other. I've seen that. Your mind is so full of other things. But if you put on a message with an inspiration in it, the right kind of message, it washes you with the water of the word. Then listening to that message will quicken you back to the Bible. Like you might be listening to blind Bartimaeus and you say, oh, this is so powerful. He's speaking about Elijah and Elisha. He's speaking about Joshua and the captain of the host of the Lord. Then you stop the message. I want to go and read that again. You go back to the book of Joshua. Joshua going out, meeting the captain of, you know, it leads you into the scripture. That's what the message of every age is supposed to do. It shines light on the scripture. It quickens and makes the scripture alive to you. So when you find yourself low in spirit and you're trying to read Leviticus about the Levitical laws or something, because that's the next place in your Bible reading plan. I long gave up on those Bible reading plans because that's not the way things work in my soul. Yeah, because I'll try to read the Bible through. I'll get to Genesis 2. Or Genesis 3, then you find some, oh my, that reminds me of this in the New Testament. Then off you go and you never get back to Genesis 2. So I just gave up doing this. Other people are good at that because they're very disciplined. But me, I love carrying a thought through the Bible. Say, hey, that's powerful, the Tower of Babel. Hey, like the prophet does, Babel in the beginning of the Bible, Babylon in the middle, the book of Daniel, Babylon, Revelations 18 at the end. You know, you're following something through. I love doing that. We're all made in a different kind of a way. Yeah, but the key to it is finding that something that's got life inside of it, something that's quickened to you. That's what you're looking for. And if nothing's been quickened in the word to you at that time, pray, humble yourself before the Lord. Lord, feed my soul. And now we'll get on to maybe these are some of the messages you could listen to get stimulation again, to get yourself back in the word. So I put the messages about Jesus. I expanded that one there. Now, the cruelty of sin. When he's speaking about Adam being coming out of the garden and he's got the bloody robes around him, they're beating against him, the blood's going down his legs, and Eve's crying, putting her head on the shoulder. When the prophet saw that by vision, when Adam and Eve came out of the garden, then he sees Jesus, you know, bloody, his robes are bloody, the blood's going down his legs, and he's carrying the cross up to Calvary. You know, you get into that. It's a powerful, powerful message. The cruelty of sin, the unwelcomed Christ, the Jesus with dirty feet. Amen. Yeah, these are really one. There's so many of them. I just put a few here just to give you some sort of an idea. Blind Bartimaeus. There's many blind Bartimaeus messages. You know, so I said, if you download the Table app, then you go and search for one of these messages. That day on Calvary. What a message. Now, speaking about Calvary, have you forgotten what Christ did for you? You know, you need to come back to the cross. If you lose your feeling for the lost, you need to come back to the altar. Remember what he did. Go back and let him reveal to you once again his love and his sacrifice that he made for you. That does something to you. The meanest man in Santa Maria. That one there is also about Jesus with dirty feet. Yeah, these are very nice messages. They're like devotional messages, most of them. There's no prophecy inside of those messages. These are messages to pour the oil into your soul, pour wine into your heart, into your personal walk with Christ. There's a lot of messages, and especially the 1950s messages, so many of them were devotional messages to do with your spiritual walk, you and the Lord. Then he gets more onto the prophetic later. We need both, but one builds upon the other. Because if you're not in the Spirit personally, what good is it to go and listen to the church ages and just accumulate a whole lot of knowledge, yet inside of your heart you're not having fellowship with Christ? You're not walking with Him on a personal basis. So what good is all this theology that you, the knowledge you're adding? No, you need to come back, spend your personal time with Him, get back in fellowship with Him. Then you start hungering for the prophetic word again. Then you want to get into the deeper things of God once again. There's the message about the new birth. That's a powerful one. You must be born again. I never changed much on the water baptism ones, the lamb and the dove. I just added the approach to God. That is a wonderful message. The prophet preached it in Chicago, and he speaks about the approach, how to approach the Lord. And then he gets on to Job's, how he used his approach when he came to the altar, and he had actually used it for his children. And so those are very, very nice messages, those. Okay, I added some more to this one. Messages about Christian growth. So you're a believer. You want to grow in your Christian life. You want to go forward. You don't want to be at the brazen altar for the rest of your life. You want to go deeper in. You want to come into the Shekinah. You want to go within the veil. How am I going to do that? Well, you need to feed your soul. You need the word to become spirit, to anoint you and quicken you, to usher you in. You need the cherubim to come and meet you where you are, touch your lips, and then usher you now to the mercy seat. And that's what the word does, the anointing upon the word. So the believer's position in Christ. These are tremendous messages. Amen. I mean, hey, just go and listen once. You'll see how many times you'll listen to that message. The approach to God, I put it there again. It's very good. Hear His voice. Why are people so tossed about? Then I put a couple of new ones. Shepherd of the sheepfold. If you're low in spirit, go and listen to these kind of messages. Like if you've lost your fellowship with the Lord, the prophet speaks of the relationships of shepherds and sheep. It is so sweet. And Jesus being the good shepherd of the sheep who lays His life down for the flock. There's times you need that. We need to go back to the simplicity that is in Christ because we've lost our simplicity. We become too complicated and technical and theological. We need to come back to the simplicity of Christ once again. I so many times go back to those myths. The shepherd of the sheepfold and the good shepherd of the sheep. These two messages are just so lovely. They're so simple, but God hides in that, but they're rich and they're virtuous. And you can listen to it over and over and say, wow, the principles that are being taught here are just so virtuous to my soul. What about, why is it that many Christians find it so hard to live a Christian life? People who don't go deep enough in Christ and all are struggling in their Christian life, He goes to show the solution to it inside of there. The time of decision. Great messages. Eliezer, he speaks of him going now to find Rebecca. Time of decision. Yeah, you're going to listen to those kind of messages. They're really good. Oneness. Yeah, you want oneness with Christ. Speaks of the disciples before they received the Holy Ghost. Had no oneness with Christ. But after Pentecost, they had a oneness with Him. They had no oneness with one another. They had no oneness with Christ. Yeah, he's speaking how God wants oneness with us. He wants to bring us back into that relationship that He's in us and He leads us and He guides us and He's real to us in our experience. Then I put there Christian growth, stature of a perfect man. That's good to have the foundation of faith, but you've got to upon this, to your faith, add virtue, add knowledge, virtue, all the different seven virtues. And then it's capped off now with agape love. And now you're in the image of the stature of Christ, the fullness of the image, this fullness of the stature of Christ, Paul says. Okay, I won't go through these ones. We've done it before. Messages when seeking the Holy Ghost. Very good messages. But I put there again, super sense. Be certain of God. The token. Desperations. Guys, I mean, there's no shortage of daily bread in the message. There's 1,200 and some message. I haven't even put maybe 60 of them in this thing here. But those 60 could keep you going for the next 5 years. Honestly, they could. Because if you get in that message, it's going to quicken you to the word. And then you're going to get in the word. You listen to the token. It takes you back to reading in the book of Exodus. To read about putting the blood on the door. the plagues of Egypt, and it brings you into the prophetic word. That's the age we're living in again, spiritually. You know, there's so much in there. He speaks of Rahab. He speaks of the Philippian jailer. He speaks of all the people that applied the token. You and your house shall be saved. And there's such encouragement in those messages. Now, the one that I added a lot to is this one, because I think we need these ones. The faith messages. When you want to boost in your faith, you want to be quickened in your faith, because faith gives you prevailing power. That's currency in the kingdom. So, believest thou this? That's about Mary and Martha when Lazarus dies. And Jesus comes and speaks to her and says, believest thou this? It's a very wonderful message. The spiritual principles that are taught inside of there are just so good. Believing God. This is a fundamental message in the Bible. If you want to understand the principles of faith and healing and that, go and listen to that message, believing God. That's when the prophet speaks about why does a young man, when he's 12, 13 years old, not come to the Lord? You know? He says, because there's a dark shadow overtaking you and telling you, let's put it off until another time. And he says, but the preaching of the word casts that evil spirit off. And you find the young person comes to the altar. Now he speaks of the principles of faith inside of there. This one here, the fundamental foundation for faith. This is another one. When the prophet speaks about your plumbing, when we fell, the plumbing in our minds, spiritually speaking, got all corrupted up. And it needs to be restored back once again so we can have simple faith in the word. Stand still and see the salvation of God. How Bartimaeus made Jesus stand still. How Joshua made the sun stand still. He takes all the examples in the Bible when they're at the Red Sea and they don't know what to do. And the Lord said to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of God. I mean, they're wonderful messages. I know my Redeemer lives, one of my most wonderful favorite messages. Job on the ash heap. I know my Redeemer lives. Go and listen to that message. It's an Easter message. It's the power of the resurrection. It'll do something to you. There be certain of God again. A total deliverance. He calls us to give us a total deliverance. Christ doesn't want to do a half work inside of our lives. He comes. When he gets in your life, he wants to do a total work. It's a good message, total deliverance. Why Christ speak? Moses once again. New ministry, super sense. Faith is the sixth sense. The greatest battle ever fought. I don't know how many times I refer people back to that message. The battle in the mind. Yeah, mind games, the devil playing with your mind, temptation and that. He shows you the principle of overcoming that in the greatest battle ever fought. Perfect faith. Wonderful message. Peter on the water, looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water. When he looks at the waves and the circumstances, he starts to sink. He speaks about that principle inside of it. He that is in you, the power of the spoken word. I've heard, but now I see. Job, again, very good messages. Then I put a few revival messages. A personal experience with God. I love that message. It's not a long message, but it's an anointed, powerful message. Go and listen to it. When the prophet says you need a personal revival with God, a personal experience with God, and he speaks about Moses before the burning bush and Moses after the burning bush, and David now having had a personal experience with God, then he comes onto the battlefield now. Now there was a difference. It's those kind of messages that quicken you, that get you saying, yeah, that's true. It's not complicated, this. What am I doing? Why am I playing around with these other things? I need just to get myself renewed before the Lord. I need a fresh personal experience with God. The great coming revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These are really good revival messages. Then this one, what hearest thou, Elijah? That speaks about Elijah when he got so worn out and tired. How did the Lord revive him? Taught him to go and rest. Yeah, that's a sweet, sweet message. Oh Lord, just once more. Samson, compromising on his covenant. Like that brother said the other day, Brother Munirazi on the video, he said in whatever, 1986, when I went to Bulawayo to the university, I spoke on a covenant of separation. I'd forgotten. I said, wow, that's a good title, that a covenant of separation. And how Satan hammers the covenant of separation. Because once you break your covenant of separation, you lose your power like Samson, his Nazarite vow. You see, and that's what, and Samson now, he's blind, he's in the prison house, and the prophet dramatizes it. Then he comes to, just once more, Lord. Just once more, Lord. And the power came back again. It's like revival message, the life of Samson. Okay, then we get on to the thing we're looking at this evening. Eat the book. Now, that's the personal side we've looked at there. Now, let's get on to the prophetic side. Let's say that you're satisfied in your soul, you're walking with the Lord. You want to go deeper in the revelation of the message of the hour. Amen. Now, that's the prophetic word now. Let's have a look. How can I get to know more? Well, let's go through things a little bit. So I put here, go to your table app, and the fourth icon is search by series. Instead of searching just by name or date or whatever, you search by series. They've grouped messages together in series. It's so nice. For example, the seven church ages. If you go and search by series, you click on the seven church ages, which is just below here. You click on a revelation of Jesus Christ. It brings up a whole group of messages. That's when Brother Bram preached Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in his church. That's wonderful. That's him preaching them. From there, there came forth the church age book. Brother Lee Vail took those messages and together with Bram, they grammarized them and put them into book form, like a real, real book. Now, if you're not so good at listening, you want to get deeper into something, you're never going to have a better place to understand the message in the church age book. If you're given to reading, this is the masterpiece. Because every major doctrine of the message is in here with the scriptures exhaustively to back it up. Most of this is more than half scripture when you look at a page. It's just showing. Serpent seed, predestination, baptism of the Holy Ghost, book of life, the rapture, is hell eternal? All of these things, the major things we believe in the message, as well as obviously the church ages themselves and the messengers and how did he choose the messengers and all those things, the conditions of each age, including the conditions of our age and what God said to this age, the counsel he gave to this age, is in the Seven Church Age book. It is an awesome book. If you are a believer and you want to know what you believe, you'll never go. Where do you start from? Start from the Laodicean Church Age if you want. Yeah, go to our church age. The last chapter is the resume of the ages. It gives like a summary of all seven church ages. Good place to start. To get an overview of these things. We'll see it just now why I'm saying that. So he preaches the seven church ages. You'll see them there. Then he comes straight after that and takes the 7 weeks of Daniel. Those are wonderful messages. And why is that? We'll have a look just now. Why did he do that? But he's gone from Revelation chapter 1 up to 5. He now drops back to the book of Daniel. Then immediately after that in his ministry, we saw last week, he comes to Revelation of the seven seals. Revelation 6, 8, and 10. And he takes it from there. You'll find that revelation of the seven seals. Then he comes to the seven trumpets. This isn't in a group, but he preaches in 1964, the Feast of the Trumpets. And next week he preaches recognizing your day in its message. If you want to understand why the Jews are back in Palestine, you want to understand what is their relationship with us, good messages. If you want to know your day and its message and what's prophesied and the end time sign of Israel and all those things, you find them inside of there. Just so wonderfully scriptural. Then he gets on to the vials. Revelations 15 to 18, the judgment. These are messages if you want to get deeper. The anointed ones at the end time. Brother Alex was speaking about it the other day. Revelations, Matthew 24, 24. The deception of this age. The God of this evil age. And knoweth it not. When he speaks of the deception of the age, knoweth it not. That you can receive the Holy Ghost on your spirit, be anointed, do wonders, signs, wonder, and be lost. so you can receive the Holy Ghost every day of your life in that realm. Be anointed, testify to people, do things, but it never changes your nature. You're lost. He says, that's the deception now of this age. He speaks about it in there. Satan's Eden, God's power to transform, trying to do God a service without it being his will. Powerful messages. And then finally, future hope. Now he's getting on to Revelations 20 to 22. He's finishing up the book of Revelation. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Other subjects, the rapture. If you want to know more about the rapture, Israel and the church. I put it inside of there. Israel's journey, type to the journey of the believer and of the church. Jehovah Jireh series, where he shows Abraham's journey and the journey of the church. Powerful ones. We're living in the days of Lot. You'll find it in there explained very, very well, perfectly. Adoption series, the believer's position in Christ. And once you listen to that, tied in with the Hear Ye Him messages, and you've got the capstone of your calling, the Lord leading you to full authority and power inside of your life. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews series. He preaches right from Hebrews 1 up to chapter 7. And then finally, conduct, order, and doctrine. Questions and answers, if you click that one, all the way from 1953 to 1964, including church order, all the conduct, order, and doctrine things. Now, surely inside of there somewhere, the deep calls to the deep. You know what it is inside of your life at this time, the kind of vitamins, the kind of ministration that you need inside of your life. I do believe that. And you'll find somewhere, start somewhere there, and the Lord will lead you from there. And things start opening up. But it's just to give you a little bit of a starting point there so that it'll help you inside of there. Okay, let's finish up then. Got a few more minutes. We'll just look at a couple of slides here. If I can get my mouse back again. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I said the Getting Started Guide version 2, that's what we've tried to do now, is just try to add more in there to give you a starting point. So if you want to go back to simplicity, the Good Shepherd of the sheep. Yeah, those kind of messages. Get back into something, start somewhere, and the Lord will lead you. So John and the Angel. The book of Revelation, we said it last week, is a book of symbols. John is at the end of the church ages. He's in the Lord's day. He's a type of us, the believer in the Lord's day, the day of the Lord's judgment. He's after the church ages because he hears a voice behind him. He looks back and he sees the church ages and Christ in the middle of the church ages. So the Lord seals up so many things in symbols in the book of Revelation until they've all been fulfilled because he's hiding it from the enemy. He reveals it to his children in the age, but he's hidden it in symbols and all these kind of things in the book of Revelation. Then at the end, now Daniel was told, seal these things up to the time of the end. At the time of the end, when there's no need to hide it anymore, it's all revealed in our age. And we can look back and we can see the whole purpose and plan that God had. It's an awesome thing. And it's typed in the book of Revelation. John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. And he sent and signified it by his angel, his messenger, to his servant John. Who was that angel that came and revealed these things to John? Revelations 22, you can find it for yourself. John wants to worship that angel. Yeah? The problem with the bride these days, many of them want to worship Brother Branham. You can see it in shadows and types. And the angel says, don't worship me. I am of your brethren, the prophets. You need to worship God. So Revelation 22 shows us this angel, this messenger, who takes John right through the book of Revelation and tells him, write these things in a book and send it out to the people. You find out that he's a prophet. He's not a heavenly angel, he's a prophet. At the end time in the Lord's day, revealing the whole book of Revelation to John the bride. That is what the message is all about. That's where you find the message in the program speaks about it in the seals. You'll find him quoting that in the seals. He says it here. Do you believe that the time, even John on the island of Patmos, this message was so perfect he couldn't trust it with an angel from heaven? You know, an angel is a messenger. But do you know the messenger was a prophet? You believe that? Go and read Revelation 22. Joseph Brown picks it up and says, this book here, the book of Revelation, it's actually hidden in symbols, but this is the message at the end. Here's the bride, John, the eagle, and here's the angel, here's a messenger coming and he's revealing. And where does he start off from? He starts off from the church ages. Then he reveals the seals, and then he reveals the trumpets, and then he reveals the vials. And then the last thing that angel reveals to John is the future home, and then John wants to worship the man. That's exactly our age. That's what the message is in our age. So we don't need a new Bible. The prophet says the Bible becomes a new book. When you get revelation of the word, the Bible then, when you listen to the message and it shines light on the scripture, it becomes like a new book. It's like it raises him out of history. It's like the Bible becomes present tense. It becomes relevant and applicable today. That's the power of listening to the message. It puts you right in the scripture and you say, that's me, that's exactly what I'm going through. The scripture comes now to life once again for you and I. So it starts with the seven church ages. Okay, and I'm going to finish with this quote. The seven church ages, if you read the very first page, the introduction, why did he preach it? He said he preached it because the Lord showed him the lateness of the hour. But he says, the seven church ages, its main theme, this book, which I have here somewhere, is the setting forth of a detailed study of the seven church ages. This is necessary. Starting with the church ages is necessary in order to study and understand the rest of the revelation. So the church ages is the foundation. Everything else happens within the context of the church age. So you need to understand the church ages first before you try to get into anything else. Otherwise, you won't put your jigsaw puzzle together. He says, for out of the ages, the church ages, comes the seals. So we'll see from the church ages, now we can place our seals there. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle comes into the church age context. And from the seals comes the trumpets. You'll understand that if you listen to the seals and the trumpets. And from the trumpets comes the vial. So one comes out of the other. So you've got to start at the right place. You've got to get the right foundation. Then you start building your prophetic revelation, your understanding of the message from there. This is what he says. Like the first burst of a Roman candle, a firework. So the firework goes up. It's just one. It bursts. Two, three things go forth. They burst. Each of them becomes two, three things. He says that's what it's like. Revelation just keeps breaking forth like that. But you've got to start somewhere. That's what the church ages. Like the first burst of a Roman candle, the church ages come forth with a mighty initial illumination. It's true. The church ages is powerful. When it's revealed, when you get into it, you're coming from the world, or you're coming from the confusion where you were in. And then that revelation of the church ages, you say, wow, everything falls into place. You know what he's been doing. You know where you are. You know what's coming next. You know what you're supposed to do. You know the age that you're in. Without which there could be no further light. Then he finishes, he says, but once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation, light upon light follows. Until the whole of the revelation opens wide before our wondering eyes. Not just an academic exercise. What is this going to do to us? And we, edified and purified by its spirit, are made ready for his glorious appearing, even the Lord and Savior, the one true God, Jesus Christ. So he says, this revelation wasn't put there for nothing. This will prepare you, give you rapturing faith. This will get you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll purify you, it'll quicken you, it'll edify you. It'll reveal things to you that'll make you one day have the faith of Enoch, or one day have the faith of Elijah, and you shall not see death. So can you see what he's trying to, what I'm trying to say? There's the two levels. There's your personal walk with the Lord, and that's fundamentally important and essential to get your daily bread. But then that's good. But now you need your daily bread for the age as well, the bread for the day that you're living in. And he shows us the angel started with the church ages, took him through the seals, John, took him through the trumpets, took him through the vials, took him through the millennium, took him through the future home. And John was so overpowered by that revelation by the time he got to chapter 20. He wanted to worship the angel that had brought the revelation. You know, we Gentiles are very prone to man worship. In the days of Daniel, they wanted to worship, and Nebuchadnezzar made the image of the holy man, Daniel, and wanted the people to worship it. Now, we from the beginning to the end. So I just wanted to bring that in that kind of a way, so that using at least a starting point, that getting started guide, if you find yourself in a wilderness that you're not exactly sure what to listen to or what to read, what are you going through? What is your soul yearning for? What are you struggling with? Where are you? Which junction of your Christian life are you at? You know, are you at the brazen altar? Have you lost the vision? Do you need repentance? Get to those messages that deal with repentance. Maybe you're there. Maybe things are fine, but you just need a renewal of your walk with the Lord. Get into those simple devotional messages. If you're doing well there, you want to go deeper in your Christian life, there's the messages for Christian growth. Get into those. Again, you're moving on. And then if you're walking with the Lord and you're saying, but wow, I want to get into the prophetic word because it's a powerful quickening force for the age. There's all of the starting points you can get into. There's the rapture. If you don't want to listen to the church ages and the seal, there's the rapture. There's the future home. There's all of these other messages as well. And like I said, you don't need any man to teach you, but the Holy Ghost will teach you. The deep inside of you will respond to something. And you just keep following that on, and you find that you will receive your daily bread. You will receive that something that gives you strength for the day. And you can walk in the light as He is in the light. And He gives you prevailing power, and He gives you grace, mercy, vision. In the midst of all the struggles and the troubles we go through, you can live the life that Christ wants you to live. But you've got to be eating the book. That's where you're going to get your strength from. You've got to have your daily bread. You've got to have your manna for the day to overcome the conditions of the day. And once you get that fundamental principle right inside of your life, everything else starts taking care of itself. Let's stand. Let's finish there, saints. We just need our daily bread. Jesus told us that. To pray and say, give us this day our daily bread. That's natural bread, obviously, but more importantly, the bread to our souls. That's what we need. Let's just pray. If you have a need before the Lord, why not raise up your hand and just ask the Lord. Father, Lord, as a needy people, we raise our hands to you. For the greatest need that we have is more of you. Even, Lord, as your son wrote that song, more and more of Jesus. Lord, Father, we don't just need to seek you anywhere. We find you in your word. When your spirit anoints your word and you speak unto our souls and it becomes manna, it becomes rich, it becomes real to us. Father, we desire more of you upon this evening, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, even just as we've covered a lot of ground there, Lord, that something would have been said or something would have been done. And Father, the souls of people, no matter whether I might have been pointed in the right direction, to come to you, the source of each and everything that we need. Even that little getting started guide, we just give it into your hands that, Father, you may just quicken people and lead them and guide them to exactly what it is that you know that they need at this time. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of your children won't put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today. But today, Lord, they'll start once again to come to gather the manna, Lord, and to partake of you, that you will strengthen them, that you'll renew their strength, that you'll anoint their eyes with thyself, that, Father, you'll renew, that you'll revive, that you'll satisfy, that you'll pour in the oil and the wine. So bless your people, Lord. Touch your people once again, we pray, and quicken us, Lord, in all the needs that we have, every desire that we have, because we know that you are our satisfying portion. Bless us as we go. Touch us physically, touch us spiritually. Watch us on these cold, icy roads, we pray. Bring us safely home and bless your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you, Lord.
Amen. Sister Sarah. Let's sing hymn 11, the songs of worship. It's a keys B flat. In the reason, is that too much? Key B flat is one of the difficult keys for me. So let's try it again. In the resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will there be found. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh yes, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise.
I think the sisters are saying it's too low.
Is it too low or is it too high? Right, oh sister doesn't know the song. All right, that's fine, that's okay. Anyway, let's, all things work for good. Let's go
to
152.
I'll
be listening. Right? Yeah. Okay. 152. Yes. A flat. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere, hallelujah, I'll be somewhere. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh yes, if my heart is right when he calls. Oh, if my heart is right, I will hear. Oh, yes, if my heart is right, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere, oh, listening, I'll be somewhere. Oh, listening, I'll be, oh, listening for my name. Be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Oh yeah, if my robe is white when he calls. Oh yes, if my robe is white, I will hear. Oh yes, if my robe is, oh, when he calls. Oh yes, I'll be somewhere. For my name, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.